From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 26th day of April, 2019. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's at globalanalytics.biz. He's out of Atchison, Kansas. And then a bit later in the program, Eric Snodgrass will join us from right here in Champaign County in Agrabah to discuss the weather forecast. It's not great, and it gets worse as we move through the days. It could be really rotten next week, says Eric, as almost every place across the Midwest will get rain, and not just a little, quite a bit of rain. And then as we wrap up our time together, we'll take up part of Commodity Week, recorded yesterday afternoon with our panelists, including Mike Zuzulo, along with Greg Ginder from FC Stone, Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing, and Garrett Toy of First Choice Commodities. And it all happens on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, on this Friday afternoon, let's turn our attention to the marketplace. We're now joined by Mike Zuzulo. He's at globalanalytics.biz out of Atchison, Kansas. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us today.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me, Todd.
Well, the corn managed to rally just a little bit during the day today. Why was that the case?
I think by and large, the fund trade saw the buy signal on Thursday's close on the fast stochastics in corn, beans, and wheat, and decided let's play a little bit safer because we do see quite a bit of precip coming across the corn belt. And some of the precip may be in the form of not liquid and actually be frozen precip. And so I do think that earlier this week when the weather prognosticators, many of them that are affiliated with commodities and agriculture, were talking about a strong warm up, they kind of got jostled around when the models came out at the beginning or early part of the week versus late last week when that warmth was gone and it was actually replaced by quite a bit of cold. So I think not just that it's wet, but it's also looking colder, probably has the trade in more of a play it safe, take profit if you're a short mindset. But you notice the wheat market is not really benefiting, especially spring wheat being down on the day, not benefiting at all from the potential snowfall that the European models are really putting down in spring wheat territory. So I'm a little bit dubious about the corn being able to make new highs without the wheat helping it along here.
Yeah, so I take it that if we look at next week across the Midwest, we're thinking, well, probably not planted. We'll have to see what USDA says for the weekly crop progress reports on Monday afternoon. And by probably not planted, meaning nothing moves next week, that puts us down to the WASDE report, May 9, May 10, before anything really begins to move, I suppose.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the other thing about that is that when you get to next week, you're also going to be right up against some spring wheat prevent plant dates of May 5, May 15 in South Dakota. And so I would think that these two things would come together on the supply side, especially heading into the WASDE report in the first 2019-2020 supply-demand figures. And I think this plays a bigger role this year than normal because of how big the acreage shift was into corn away from beans, and the weather says the exact opposite. And we could have looked at that, you know, as much as 3 weeks ago and kind of kept our powder dry with the bean corn spread in favor of the corn, but we elected not to do that. And now today on Friday, we're finally starting to get within a couple percentage points of that low that the bean corn ratio made in new crop futures back all the way back before the March acreage report. So in some ways, Todd, it's like we're coming back around and playing catch up with the acreage data. Stocks and supply demand figures, that's still very much on the table though.
So you're telling me what about how acreage switch will go?
Well, the 92.8 million on corn, you know, when we talked a month ago, it was almost exactly a month ago, you had the NAS head on, or one of the key guys at NAS on the commodity week. And we talked about that. And I remember pretty vividly being pretty not negative, but really scrutinizing the Dakotas and the likelihood of getting that big of a number. And my position was back then, and even more so today, is 92.8 is probably the biggest number we'll see in the corn. And if that's the case, it will probably have to be driven somewhat into the soy complex, especially if this 2 to 4 to 6 inch rainfall pattern over the, you know, from Monday of next week to the following Monday ends up, you know, manifesting itself. Those acres are going to get planted someplace.
So what is a producer to do at this point? Because there's an awful lot happening, but not much going on in the field.
Yeah, I think that the fastest and best answer I can give you is you've got these buy signals on the charts. You haven't shifted the momentum yet. You need wheat and corn to work together here technically to shift that momentum. And I think that keeps the beans fairly steady. Beans don't have to go down a lot more. So I'm encouraged by the fact that cash basis came up this week and continued to come up all the way through Friday's close in both old crop corn and old crop beans. That suggests that farmers are done selling. And if the demand stays intact and we don't lose business to South America, we should be able to get some rallies to be able to hedge. And I'm still in the camp that beans have the premium to them. So rallies in beans should be sold more quickly.
Currencies, have you been watching those closely still?
Have I ever? 2-year highs in the U.S. dollar this week, and that's with the crude oil making almost 2-year highs. Very odd situation to see both of them having such a strong positive correlation, but obviously both of them have separate fundamentals driving. They're not really correlated with the fund trade. They're correlated with supply-demand features. Like the potential closing of the Strait of Hormuz and the Iranian sanctions that we put on this week in the case of crude oil, the dollar obviously picking up a lot of tailwinds from U.S. economic data and fears increasing about the emerging markets, especially with some Japanese and South Korean economic data that came out. So it looks like right now the dollar is trying to make a top, and I would put that probably at like a 20 or 30 day top, and that would come at a very good time for the ag commodities.
Finally, my news sense has been tingling because there's been so little coming out from China and the United States about the trade negotiations that something is afoot and very soon. What do we know and what do you think?
You know, this is where you have to read the tea leaves, and that gets very, very tough to do. But I think if we follow the North Korea trail and the foreign policy trail with our trade policy, I don't think the trade policy is getting worse. I think I'm kind of like you. I think it's getting better in the sense that when North Korea and Russia met this week, no good came out of it. In other words, they didn't agree to anything, and Russia is not supporting them from everything I've been able to find out about that meeting. So I think maybe the Chinese are helping us again with North Korea, and I like no news. No news is good news when it comes to no tweets and no comments by Larry Kudlow and people like that. I want a deal done. I don't want to talk about it. I just want it done. And I think the market's in that mindset. And I think your sense is absolutely correct from what I see in the foreign policy side.
Hey, anything else before I let you go?
I think the only other thing I would say is the soybean complex is something that we really have to be careful of, because we took out, you know, we made new contract lows in Dease corn this week. We did not take out the September of last year lows in the beans in the new crop contract. So I'm really nervous that if the wheat and corn markets don't perform here, those beans could be like wheat and have a whole nother leg down. So I'd be watching these recent lows very, very closely in everything, but especially the soy complex.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, is Mike Zuzlow. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Quick reminder on this Friday afternoon that you can listen to any of our programming anytime you'd like on our website at willag.org. You can sign up for our newsletter there as well. Just hit subscribe, or you can listen to us as a podcast if you'd prefer. Find us in iTunes, the Google Play Store. We're in Spotify, on Stitcher, and by using one of my favorite apps to listen to the program, the NPR One app. It's all about the service that comes to you from Illinois Public Media, University of Illinois Extension, and the ag programming produced right here in Urbana-Champaign. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media for this Friday afternoon. We're now joined by Eric Snodgrass from Agrible. Hi, Eric. Thanks so much for being with us. It's a really beautiful day today, but when I looked at the weather forecast, I see some cold weather and even snow in some places across the Midwest. Is that right?
Yeah, and if you can leave early, do it to get out and enjoy it, because things will be changing pretty rapidly here over the weekend and then for next week. And yeah, unfortunately for those folks that are in parts of the North Plains, so I'm talking about parts of Montana, but really getting into South Dakota, Minnesota, Northern Iowa, Southern Wisconsin, even Northern Illinois, and then Southern Michigan. They've all got snow coming in the next 48 hours. Some places it might even get deep. We might see in Southern Wisconsin and parts of Northern Iowa, but Southern Minnesota, maybe 4 to 6 inches of snow. And this is exactly what they don't want, but they're getting it. It's pretty late. This is a late season snow event for us. Here in central Illinois, that system's going to bring rain through here tomorrow afternoon. Hopefully, we've got everybody done with the marathon at that point by the time the rain gets here. But it'll be a soggy kind of mid to late day tomorrow. And then Sunday will be halfway decent, but then we're going to go on this kind of roller coaster ride next week that's going to be unpleasant if you farm in central Illinois or pretty much anywhere in the middle part of the country. It's a pretty ugly pattern that's setting up.
I take it we'll get a lot of rainfall.
Yeah, and that's really the problem. So we're watching a ridge develop over the southeast. And whenever we have ridges developing over the southeast, and if they stay there, it's kind of, just think of it like a giant pump. It's spinning clockwise and it's taking moisture out of the Gulf of Mexico and shoving it straight into the middle part of the country. And it kind of rides on around and comes over to Illinois. So from Texas to Oklahoma, Arkansas, then getting up into parts of Missouri, Kansas, Nebraska, then right over here into Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, we are just going to get round after round of storms and rain next week. Some places in Texas that are already in the last month, 6 to 10 inches above average on rainfall, are going to possibly see another 3 to 6 inches of rain, meaning the flooding down there is going to continue. And we're just at a point right now in the season throughout much of the Corn Belt that any rain just adds another week to what we would want to be doing, just because things are so saturated. So the problem with this is going to push many of us pretty far into May before we even, get a chance to get back in the fields to get some stuff done. And I'm expecting to see a lot of localized flooding in that corridor I just mentioned over the next 5 to 10 days.
Okay, two other crops I want to check in on. Corn crop planting, like us, should be taking place in the northwestern part of China. I take it they're in good shape?
Well, you know, we haven't seen too much of a weather story coming out of northwestern China. A lot of the action for the first, 90 or so days of this year, and then just recently, has been in southeastern China, where it's been extremely wet. And so because we kind of look, now there's a data problem there. We don't just get regular great data like we have in the United States, but nothing right now screams at me when I look at some of the data that comes from the Climate Prediction Center in that area. So maybe having a halfway decent start to their year, unlike us here.
And then the corn crop in Brazil is just fantastic.
Yeah, and I wish I had something different to say there for these U.S. farmers, but basically the El Nino event was weak. The monsoon kept its strength. Nothing shut down the moisture. And so even though things were dry to finish that first crop of beans, what happened for this second crop or safrinha crop has been pretty good. And they went after it. They planted as fast as they could, and they went for big acres. And so as a result, what they are going to get is going to be a big crop for them for that safrinha crop. So don't see any worries down there for at least the next 15 days. But again, we have to watch that safrinha crop deep into May, so it's important to keep an eye on it as we progress through these next 30 to 40 days.
Okay, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Eric Snodgrass from Agrible right here in Champaign County. Yesterday afternoon, we recorded Commodity Week. Our panelists included Greg Ginder from FC Stone, Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri Marketing, and Garrett Toy of First Choice Commodities, along with Mike Zuzla at globalanalytics.biz. I started, as usual, by asking, in this case, Greg Ginder, what was on his list of things to discuss.
Right. One of the things that I've been watching here this week, and I think that's going to be interesting for next week, is how much planting progress we're going to see on Monday, and if it even makes a difference at this point. If it's too early, is it are we late? Are we too late? Just kind of an opening question, just to see where everybody's at.
Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing.
Yeah, I would add to that, you know, this massive fund selling. Where does that end? When does that end? I would second that thought on whether, if and when it will ever matter. And, you know, what's the next step here over the next 70, 80 days into the growing season?
Garrett Toy from First Choice Commodities, items you'd like to be questioned for the day.
Well, obviously, we're looking at the weather here, but I also think we need to kind of look at the demand structure here of this market as we push these new lows in the month of April and where we're at on exports, the impacts of the South American crops, more so corn potentially than soybeans at this point, because I think a lot of us already know where the bean market stands. But I think that's taking a look at new crop export books and where we're at from this point forward.
And Mike Zuzulo, what did we leave for you?
Just the soybeans, I think, carrying a premium. And why would that be that they're carrying a premium still against the corn, Todd?
Okay, so let's start there. Why do you think that is the case?
Well, I think it goes back to, quite frankly, I think there's less political and trade pressure that the trade sees in the soy complex than in the feed grain complex. And a lot of this goes back to USDA's acreage base that they gave us at the end of March that really changed the cosmetics of the market. And I think the EPA ethanol policy has really kept the corn participating in the wheat-led break to the downside. And I think these two things, along with soybeans tending to be structurally more sound to be long in when the stock market's going up because they tend to be more of a deflationary market, they seem to me to have been able to escape until just this past week or so. The African swine fever fears of lost demand, and also the fact that we're running, you know, close to 50% harvested in some of the South American soybean fields at this stage of the game. And it's just now starting to, I think, dawn on the trade that these things are out there. And that's what's helped keep the soybeans at a 2.37 premium, relatively high compared to what we're used to seeing when you've got 900 million bushels of old crop beans staring you in the face and corn planting delays.
You're talking about the SREs, the small refinery exemptions and biodiesel?
No, I think neither. I'm talking more about the E15. I think the E15 and the expectations of the EPA doing something for ethanol instead of big oil was high 4 or 5 months ago. I guess it goes back to the principle of economics would suggest that cheap corn and strong unleaded gasoline demand and margins that are coming back around to where ethanol's almost 80 cents discount to RBOB gas should equal better margins in ethanol, and we're just not seeing it. So I think the economic model has been broken mainly because of the market sentiment that we're just not going to move the ethanol. Part of this due to the old NAFTA, part of this I think due to the EPA not moving as they promised to move and the trade reacting very quickly.
So the E15 not going to happen this summer, in your opinion?
Well, they're not giving us that indication right now, and we're 1 month away from summer, and that's we've been talking about it for 4 months.
Speaking about being 1 month away from summer, they're pretty close to that, and we're starting to get pretty far, Greg Ginder, through the beginning of the planting season with very few planters rolling across the Corn Belt. What do you think planting progress will look like on Monday?
Well, last year, For this Monday, we were sitting at 17%. So I would, the over-under has been all week is, are we going to be over or under 17%? Majority of those believe that we'll probably be somewhere closer to 12 to 15%. There just hasn't been much opportunity for a lot of guys to get very much of anything done. They get started for a day or two, and then they get rained out for a day or two. So this will be probably by far the best week that we've had so far this year as far as planting goes. There's been a few windows that have opened up in Illinois and southern Iowa, Missouri, and there's been quite a bit done in those windows, field work, fertilizer application. But with everything that we had to do, we will still need a pretty large window to get what I would consider a good bit of this crop in the ground.
Greg Ginder is with F.C. Stone out of Chesterfield, Missouri, joined our Commodity Week panel yesterday, including Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing out of Morton, Illinois, Garrett Toy of First Choice Commodities in Stockton, Illinois, and Mike Zuzla at globalanalytics.biz.